Hello, this is Abby.
Dear Abby, this is gonna be a long one.
Oh boy.
Dear Abby, how do you tell the difference between a new exciting crush and a rebound?
Does it matter?
Dear Abby.
Dear Abby.
Dear Abby.
Welcome to our little corner of the internet. This is the Dear Abby podcast. I hope you stay and hang out with us. See you in a sec.
Welcome to the podcast, everybody. We're gonna have a good time today. Sometimes when I think of people listening, I think, do they want me to be a little bit quieter and less annoying? Because it depends on your mood.
I think, what if someone just wants me to be a really calm, calm girl energy the whole episode? Or they're like looking forward to a nice quiet episode because some of mine are quiet, and then they turn it on and they're just like, oh my gosh, I'm annoyed. That is a fear of mine constantly. So I'm like, should I be calm girl or should I be more entertaining and more silly, fun, silly? I don't freaking know. Sometimes I feel like maybe I've changed my personality a little bit to make sure that everyone likes me because I'm a podcaster now. Oh, fine. I admit it. I'm taking my power back today. It's been a rough day. I feel like there's something weird about when I do my podcast sometimes, is I feel a little bit nervous that I'm trying to solve something still with my podcast. Like I'm going to have a resolution somehow to solve world OCD and world anxiety, but that's not possible. So I've given that up. Not saying I won't talk about it. I'm saying in my alone time, I've given up trying to constantly obsess over it, is what I'm saying, because I do. And so I'm giving that up today and I'm taking my power back. I have been pretty sad this past week. Really miss my boyfriend. I feel very lonely. We've talked about that a lot lately. Still happening. Doesn't just go away for me, apparently. Yeah, I've just had a lot of time alone, and I've realized I still struggle pretty bad with the relationship I have with myself. It's a lifelong pursuit. So sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. Right now, it's not great. It's not terrible, but it's not great. Maybe people who have OCD can relate to this or have had some type of disorder or something that, you know, is so horrible and debilitating. And they're like, oh my gosh, if I just didn't have this, life would be perfect. But then I feel like I'm getting back to a point in recovery where I'm not ruminating, obsessing 24/7. So I have a lot of my, like, I have a normal life. I can do everything that I did before, but my enjoyment is still pretty much negativo, still very depressed. It's a weird fine line of trying to accept that maybe I might not feel good for a long time, like not find any enjoyment in pretty much anything. Like in weeks, I don't remember what it's like to feel excited or peaceful. So that kind of sucks. But then on the other hand of like accepting is maybe my battle is that I'm constantly trying to figure out if I feel better or not. But I feel like that's pretty normal for people, right? Do people not think about that? Am I just crazy? I know I'm not crazy. I'm just being dramatic for theatrical purposes. I just don't want to give up though. I talked to my therapist about this because it's something I'm struggling with now that I'm coming out of being really deep in OCD, that now I'm scared that I'm still stuck in it and this is just life and life will always feel like this. And I think it's becoming a very meta form of OCD or whatever, because now I'm kind of like, what do I do now if I feel better, if I'm not compulsing? I think I need to focus on, I don't know. I'm struggling right now with that, to be honest. I don't have all the answers, unfortunately. So if you struggle with that stuff, I feel ya. Now that I'm recovering, for the second time in recovery, I felt so much better the first time when I started to recover. And now the second time, I feel very depressed, very, very depressed, more so than before, and more frustrated and helpless and hopeless, I think, comes with just trying over and over again and failing every single time. Or I guess maybe the story isn't failing. It's scary to think, what if you never get it right? Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at today. So hopefully that's not super depressing, but I'm being real. Weirdly enough though, I'm kind of in like a decent mood right now. So let's just swing it while I'm here. I'm just feeling weird today. I'm feeling normal. actually, with how to be myself and just in life. Like, I have become a shell of myself sometimes. Well, I am a shell of myself a lot of the times. And I've kind of lost myself a little bit. I think that's why I feel extra sad, is I OCD steals so much from you. And you kind of have to fight for it back. But when I have, it feels like I have no fight left in me, is how it feels. I'm not trying to say that to be scary or something. I'm fine. But you know that feeling of when you're just like, I don't feel like I have fight left in me. So you have to, I don't know how to pull through that. You just end up doing it somehow. That's where I'm at right now. I'm feeling confused, and I'm just embracing that I feel confused in life. I don't have a full direction. I have a faith. I have God, but at the same time, that's not always like, sometimes you feel very far away from him and he feels far away from you, and that sucks and that's hard. And so it's having to just realize sometimes you just have to do it on your own. No one's coming to save you, I guess. I don't know. I wanted to remind everyone that because summer is approaching very fast, that instead of maybe obsessing over what our bodies look like, or if our tummy is flat, or I don't know, if our butt looks good in bikinis, those aren't horrible things, okay? It's okay to be like, oh, that would be cool. That must be nice. However, just to remind everyone, and we'll do a full episode about this, to just be really kind to yourself. Be kind to yourself. And if you have all of those thoughts and those negative things popping up, now that you see more bikini pictures, now that people are going on vacation, just take a second to make an intention and to set a goal or whatever you want to call it, to every time you have those thoughts and you become very obsessive over your body in an unhealthy way, to just take a second and ground yourself, recenter, remind yourself of your worth, remind yourself that, you know what? It feels really good to want that, and it feels really good to be like, oh, what if everything was perfect? And what if my body was perfect all the time? But you can have a level of contentment, happiness, joy right now. So constantly critiquing your body, obsessing isn't going to help you feel better. And I've just, my whole life, every time I go to the gym to look better, I feel like 80% of the, sometimes it works, I'm not gonna lie. Sometimes when I'm like, oh, I actually just want to like lose some weight, or I want to lose some like extra weight, then it works. It's like, that's enough. But for long-term motivation, that is not helpful for me. I have to just, no matter how I feel, no matter if I look okay, I'm like, I gotta go to the gym anyways. I gotta do this. And then after, I'm so proud of myself for going, because I did not want to go. So just a reminder to love your bodies. And I'm just going to make this a thing every year, because I think it's a good reminder. Because as much as maybe you were in good headset a couple years ago, maybe you've slipped back up. That's okay. That's life. So it's a good reminder. But speaking of gyms, I have still been cycling a couple times a week. And that actually it's like changing my body. My joints don't hurt because I stopped running and I'm just doing cycling. And I've kind of mastered the art of cycling. Not really, but my form is pretty decent. And it feels way better on my knees than running. I feel weirdly what is that word? Cathartic? And I do this alone. I'm not going to like an actual class. I do it online on a cycle at a gym. So it's like a 45, sometimes 30, sometimes 20, okay, if I'm not feeling it. Sometimes on certain times of the month, I don't want to do a 45-minute cycling class because it's very tiring. Love it. I love it so much. If you want to get into like HIIT workouts or cardio, but you don't like running because your knees are bad or your hips, or it just like never is worth it because of the pain, and you don't want to pay for all of the extra stuff. I mean, cycling classes are pretty expensive, but there are apps that you can download. And there are at gyms, they have cycling bikes, maybe not the exact kind where you can stand up on them. So maybe this is a little bit too specific, but cycling in general, you don't have to stand up, but it's a great workout. My butt feels like it's getting bigger only because every time I sit on the bike, my butt hurts, and then I feel like it deteriorates the muscle because it's in so much pain. That's what it feels like. But then it builds cushion, so that the next time it's less painful. So I actually feel like it's working my butt and my crotch. So I'm going to have, I'm going to be pretty buff there, I guess, is what I'm saying. So I wanted to share a story that was from this week with me. And, well, I was from last week, I guess. Doesn't matter. With me and my family. Just to give you guys some background, I have four brothers. I have two older brothers, two younger brothers, and then I have one sister. So four brothers, one sister. My brothers have a bunch of friends that, like, I grew up with them at our house. So it felt like I have just surrounded by boys, really. And my dad was a jokester, so I was surrounded by basically, even though he was still a dad, it's not like he felt like a brother. He was definitely a dad, a good dad. But I was very much surrounded by boyish boy stuff my whole life. And my mom's even a little bit of a tomboy. So I feel like that's just how I grew up. That's a little bit about my family. And we all now are older, obviously. We're all really close. We still all talk like a couple times a month, maybe. But every week, we talk to my brother, who's on a mission for the church that I go to. They serve a mission for 2 years, and they basically just talk to people about Jesus. You know them, like Mormon missionaries. They knock on your door, probably. You probably think, oh my gosh, they're here again. They come every 3 years, which, to be fair, yeah, that would be funny. If I wasn't Mormon and missionaries would show up all the time, I would 100% make fun of them, because it's just like, oh, come on. And then they want to talk about Jesus. It's like, ugh, we're drinking in here. Leave us alone. Every week we talk to him, and just as many siblings that can join will jump on basically a Facebook video Zoom thing. A couple of us have kids now. Well, a couple of them have kids now. Well, two of them. Okay, two of my siblings have kids now. So it's sometimes very chaotic, like lots of background noises. You can't really hear what anyone's saying. Everyone's talking over each other. That's the vibe. And sometimes it's pretty chill because no one is able to jump on. Just depends on the week. This week, everyone was on. So we had a lot of people on the Zoom call. A lot of chaos. There'll always be some people trying to talk about Jesus and the gospel. And then there's some people dancing in the background, like grittying, trying to be funny. And then you have maybe two other people trying to communicate about something about their lives amongst the noise. Also on Facebook video, if you do not know, because this is a very old person thing to know. So on Facebook Messenger, chat, whatever, video thing, there are effects that you can put on the group of people. You can put on yourself. You have options here. There's so many different effects, emojis you can put over yourself. It's like, you can turn everyone into a clown. You can turn everyone into a little baby in a diaper. It's like you can just, there's this weird effects that were coded in or created onto the Zoom calls or the Facebook calls. Probably a couple times every call, someone gets bored of the conversation and they just start to turn people into different animals, effects. It's kind of like Snapchat filters. I guess they're called filters. Oh my gosh, am I old? They're filters, not effects. They're filters. Well, I think they're both. So we all started to get a little bit crazy with this. And it was constant changing, constant weird things popping up on everyone's faces while we were all talking. And it got to the point where there was seven of us or six of us on the call at that time. Eventually, we all went from having dinosaur faces, talking to each other with dinosaur faces on, like cartoon, to the next second, someone clicked an effect that affected the whole family, and all of a sudden, everyone was a cartoon seal bouncing a bouncy ball on its nose in the middle of the North Pole, Antarctica, somewhere cold and icy in the background. They all turn to that while we're talking, and some of us laugh, and then my eldest brother, shall I say, who is, for some context, the oldest, so he's accomplished. He has standards. He is also a lawyer, so there's some context. And then he just says, okay, this is getting out of hand. And he just says, okay, this is getting out of hand. And to his And to his point, it was getting out of hand. It was hard to talk about something serious, especially Jesus or something, if we're all now seals bouncing a bouncy ball on our noses, trying to have a serious conversation. So maybe I'll post, I think maybe I have a video or a picture. I missed him saying that, but I wanted to take a picture of what everyone looked like because it was so funny. So that was a funny moment from this past week. Maybe I did laugh for a second. Maybe I do find joy sometimes. There's always some weird things that happen on those calls, mostly from little brothers, because little brothers are just constantly comparing muscle sizes. One's showing their bicep, the next second they're both flexing, like trying to compete. Next second, you know, they're doing, I don't know, deadlifts, bicep curls. I'm like, where did you get those weights? Where are you guys? How did you get an entire gym at your... You're on a mission. How do you have that stuff? Anyways, moving on. A dub this week has been, instead of sleeping on a pullout couch, I finally got a bed. So that's been really nice. I need to get a mattress still. So let me know if you guys know any good mattress places, because I need a mattress badly. So that's a dub. Not that expensive. Pretty cheap. Got it on Facebook Marketplace. Have been looking around. I am selling... Hopefully, I'm asking my friend, because this was technically hers, but she left it for me. So I don't know if I can sell it. I'll give her the money if I do, but I have a white couch. It's in pretty good shape. I probably just need to wash the cushion covers, but it's really cute couch. It would look good in pretty much any decor. I just have a studio, tiny studio. I don't want a couch and a bed. It's not made for that. So I am selling a white couch with a pullout bed if you guys are interested. DM me and I'll send you pictures. And I'm not selling it for that much, so I'm fine to negotiate. That was a dub. My L for the week, I think, has just been I haven't taken a lot of time to stop and reflect when I start to spiral. So with my boyfriend being gone, like for instance, he's in Rome. He's in Paris or somewhere over there. That's where my family is from, is over there somewhere. And when Chelsea, my sister, went there, she was like, I actually felt like, oh, people look like us here. Like, I feel like everyone kind of looked like me. Versus here, I don't feel like I see a lot of people that I'm like, oh, you're my doppelganger, you know? But there, I guess a lot of people look like us. So anyways, my boyfriend said that. And this kind of, I think, shows that I have definite insecurities and still some things that I need to work through from my past, but I just feel even anxious about those comments. Like, it's, and this is nothing to do with him, has nothing to do with him, just an FYI. And I know that, but my brain immediately just like, and emotionally, I just shut down. I just start spiraling, like, what if, what if, what if? And sometimes I'm just not good at taking a second to realize that I can choose to go down that route, or I can choose to just be engaged in the conversation. So when I don't choose to take a second, that always hurts me in the long run. And I get really bummed out towards myself that I kind of made myself more miserable than I need to be. And then when I kind of come back to, I don't know, homeostasis, I feel like that was so weird of me to be anxious about that. But I don't know. It's so that was an L, definitely, is I think I just get really anxious when my significant other's on vacation and it has nothing to do with them, but it's hard. It's really hard. Okay, I didn't say what we were talking about this week, but I'll say it now because we're about to get into it anyways. I saw this reel on Instagram. Well, I've seen a couple of his videos before, but he just talks kind of about, I don't know, culture stuff and mental health. And I don't know his, I probably should have saved his handle actually. Ugh, dang it. When this episode goes live, maybe I'll find it and I'll share it to my story. But it was a video of some guy talking about how to help a depressed friend or someone who's struggling mentally or emotionally. I think especially when it comes to depression, I sometimes, even though I have it, and I know I've given advice on it before, but sometimes I still really struggle how to help someone that's going through something mentally challenging and emotionally challenging. Sometimes I just don't know how to help. And I am like, what actually helps me? Like, I don't know what actually helped me sometimes and helps still. But what he said really kind of opened my mind and my heart up to a whole different type of helping someone, which this is probably going to be very obvious, but for me, the way he explained it just really made sense to me. So he said, sometimes the best way to help a friend that's in need or who has depression, is struggling with anxiety or something, they're already thinking about how they feel because they feel horrible. So texting, calling, saying, hey, how are you feeling? Sometimes is actually not helpful. It's actually going to make them feel worse because now they feel like, oh gosh, okay, now I'm reminded that I'm doing worse than everyone else. Someone's worrying about me. So now I'm being selfish. It also turns into, okay, well, how am I feeling? And then they're now obsessing more about how they're feeling. Or they feel like they have to lie to you and say that they're good. And then that internally makes them feel a little bit worse. The advice he gave to help with this is to just create an experience or go over or plan something that you know will help them feel connected to you or connected to nature or connected to something. And it's not something that just you want to do. It could be something that you know they like or something that maybe isn't that deep or that big and it's really small. But for instance, if you both like to play a video game or if they used to like playing a video game or I don't know. There's a lot of different small things you can do, but just plan something. Don't even ask them how they're doing unless maybe you're there and the moment feels right. The moment feels right. It's just nice to feel someone puts an effort to just connect with you. It's more than words. It's more than what you could ever intellectualize and verbalize, but you just create memories and a connection that they can feel a little bit normal and alive and okay again for a little bit. And I think those moments really help you. You really hold on to those moments when you're struggling. You're just like, okay, my life has felt so good before. I've been close to people. I've felt close to people. I've felt close to myself. And it just kind of helps you hold on to that to keep going. I thought that was brilliant advice. I'm so grateful when people ask me how I'm doing, but I already think about it way too much. I just want to experience life with people and I want to feel alive. I don't want to be intellectualizing my life. I don't want to be intellectualizing my intellect. You know, that's a very obsessive, like OCD way that my brain thinks. I think about a lot of that stuff all the time. I'm hyper aware that I'm aware and living, like, and my brain is just constantly trying to figure something out about it. And I want the wonder back. I want the connection back where it's just simple. But I think when people make the effort to connect with you and not feed those intellectualizing everything and trying to figure it all out, but instead just make you feel good and you laugh, you have fun. It seriously really does help and heal people, you know? But I thought that was a really interesting and important take because I think there's a lot of people out there who have friends, family, loved ones that are struggling and it can feel very helpless. And you can ask them how they're doing a million times. It's not going to change how they're doing most of the time. I really appreciate the people in my life, both who ask me how I'm doing, because how are they supposed to know that that's like not helpful, really? That's a natural first thing you want to ask, but who kind of create time and experiences with me without making me feel like a patient, you know, or an OCD person. It's like when I just feel like Abby, when I feel like me, everything feels like okay again, you know? It's sometimes hard to get people who are struggling outside of the house and they might not like you for kind of pushing them out of their comfort zone. But along those same lines, maybe you can start with, oh, I'm going to come over and watch a show that you like to watch with you or a movie, or I'll let you, you know, pick. Then maybe it's like, okay, now let's like go get ice cream somewhere, or let's walk by the beach, or let's take a little hike here. This is a cool mountain something to climb. I don't know. And then slowly get them more outside of the house, more involved. That stuff is so helpful because you want to isolate so bad when you're depressed or anxious most of the time, or you have OCD. I feel like I totally isolate. Some people don't like to be alone at all. I totally isolate myself. It's either one or the other. I'm either fully isolating, not taking calls, not answering. I just want to be in bed all day. Or I don't ever want a second alone with myself or my thoughts. One or the other. It's not as bad anymore, but that's kind of how it was. It's really important, obviously. Everyone knows this. And I think sometimes I act like it's not as big of a deal as it really is to take care of your loved ones and to, like, you are their people. If you have people, you are their people, you know, especially if you know they don't have a lot of other people that care about them. It's a great responsibility to take on to at least try and help and to reach out to support. And it's not your responsibility to heal them necessarily, but I think it adds a lot of love and meaning into your life. As annoying as it is, being the I've always been the friend that doesn't want to do stuff. And as in, if we're doing something crazy, or if we're at a party, I don't like go to parties anymore, but I don't know, just new experiences. Most of the time I'm a little bit nervous and I don't really want to do it that much. But then usually my boyfriend or someone around me will kind of force me to try or do it. And then I do it and I'm like, oh, wait, that was actually really cool and fun. And I feel more empowered and less scared of everything. And then I have more fun and then I feel like I'm living more. So even if you're the friend that gets anxious and doesn't want to do this stuff, just listen to your friends or your family or the people that love you that are trying to like push you out of your comfort zone. I know they don't know how you feel or anything like that, but just do it. Just go have fun or whatever they're trying to convince you to do. And if you're the friend that has, you know, the other friend where they don't want to do anything, they're scared to do everything, they feel stupid all the time, they won't talk to the waitress, they make you, you probably already do this, but feel free to really nudge people out of their comfort zones, your friends, your family that are scared to do a lot of stuff. Just slowly nudge, not to the point where they're like breaking down and crying, but I'll post that thing on Instagram stories, hopefully, if I remember, next week, so you guys can see the reel I was talking about, because he probably does a lot better at articulating it than me, because it was his original thought. I mean, he probably got it from someone. I don't know. Everyone's just regurgitating at this point. Everyone's always been regurgitating. I am like a mama bird and you are like the baby birds. And it's like I'm just picking up worms that I see and putting them in your beak. Just picture me eating worms, spitting it into your mouth. That's pretty much what I'm doing with this podcast. That's pretty much what everyone's doing at this point. That's life. That's life. Huh. Do you ever just think about that saying, that's life? It's like, what is either of those? I need to take a nap. I have some chocolate ice cream for me. I like to reward myself when I record my podcast. Oh, my mom's calling. Goodbye, mother. Not answering. Okay, well, you know what? Sadly, I don't have a Dear Abby for today because I am low and I thought I had more saved, but as I went through, I realized I just didn't uncheck them. So unfortunately, I don't have any new ones. Maybe if I've missed yours, please resend it or something, because I did get a little bit unorganized, shockingly, with how I listed this out. So no Dear Abby. And guess whose fault that is, you guys? It's your fault. It's your fault that the podcast is ending now, because it's your fault because we don't have a Dear Abby. Wait, actually, let me check one more time. No, we don't. Well, thanks for listening to today's episode. I will see you guys next week and I will miss you all week. Can't wait to talk to you next week. Have a great, great weekend. Now that we're in May, we're so close to June. It's summer. I hope you guys have a fantastic weekend and you guys can get some sun. You can relax. You can have fun. You can laugh. Love you. Bye. Oh, I'm taking a ride to join at late. Don't you burn and so good or god. I'm a gin papa. Kiss all laying back on the side.